All right, let's settle down. We have Merveille Gulmez. She's going to talk about Friend or Foe, Exploring In-Process Isolation to Maintain Memory Safety for Unsafe Rust.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your lecture. Hello, everyone. I am happy to be here. Okay, let's get started. I hope that one is will work now. It doesn't work. As you see, previous presentation, I talk about this uptake of Rust and Atop project, for example, Rust for Linux or Mozilla, or currently is happening is Rust in Windows OS. For example, Mozilla is now 11% is Rust, and the others different languages, for example, C and C++. Of course, that one is all gradual developments requires mixed language application. Also, today we saw previous talk. They talk about unsafe Rust. Rust has actually hides two languages. One of them is safe, and the other one is unsafe Rust. And unsafe Rust doesn't enforce memory safety guarantees, and why we need it. Sometimes we want to do some low-level control over implementation details, or sometimes we need it for optimization. And in Cherry Talk, they did really demo here, and unsafe Rust actually can violate completely Rust application memory safety. Like they can do reference route pointers, or they can allow us to call unsafe functions via foreign function interface. And an academic work shows that more than 72% of Rust create is depend on at least one unsafe FFI. And now we have two things, safe Rust and unsafe Rust. And unsafe Rust say that, trust me, I know what I am doing. Should we really trust, or should we do something and put on shield? And the gap is here, actually. I already mentioned this mixed language application undermine memory safety guarantee of safe Rust. And as a result, isolation is really needed. And I am a PhD student, I am a researcher. And a lot of academic works to address this issue. We have a lot of academic work, for example, ERIM, Trust, SandCrust, or so on. But what is the difference between these different academic publications? They either say that, okay, we should use process-based isolation, or we should use in-process isolations. And when you have process-based isolation, firstly, you have integrity. It means that each process running, it is on virtual memory space. And also the other nicest things, you have resilience. It means that each process, its own failure boundary. And if one process is crash, the other one is will not affect it. And a good example for that one, multiprocess software architecture. And the other side, we have in-process isolations. It means that you have a one address space, and inside this one address space, how you can isolate one part of it. For example, you want to protect just a key, or you want to protect one part of applications. Of course, if you have in-process isolations, can significantly reduce the runtime cost, because context switching compared to traditional process isolation is lower. And I put here early approaches. This small box, and inside the small box, means that in-process isolations, and the other we have just SandCrust provide the process-based isolations. And I would like to highlight something. Just one of them is offer actually two of them is offering crash resistance, SandCrust, but this is process-based isolations. Also, we have ST-RET here, but ST-RET doesn't support so for Rust, just it supports C applications. And I did some measurement, and according to this measurement, it's if you have process-based isolation, actually it is 10 times higher than compared in process isolations. But the gap is here actually actually can be provide best of the both worlds. It means that can we have integrity and failure boundary similar to process-based isolations, and we want to also have lower overhead similar to in-process isolation. And my goal is firstly maintain the Rust application safety, and also we want to increase the software resilience of Rust applications, and also how we can provide ease of use in the development. In my early work, we provide some approach for C applications. This is secure, rewind, and discard. And this is an approach for recovering vulnerable application after an attack is detected. And how we achieve that stuff? Firstly, we compartmentalize the application into distinct domains, and we want to make sure that a memory defect with a domain must only affect that domain memory. And this approach is rely on hardware-assisted software fault-based isolation. This is a protection key for user space. And also how I detect it, I use different pre-existing detection mechanism, for example, stack canaries and domain violations. And as a result of this work, we publish some C library, ST-RET library. If you want to check out, you can scan the QR code. Now, I would like to explain the high-level idea. We have function F, and we have unsafe. And if we write just sandbox on top of that, we want to have some memory safety guarantees, and we want to have some isolation. And let's get started. We have parent domain, and we want to run this function F in another domain. Another domain means stack and heap isolations. It means that I want to run this function F in the another domain. And to run my function in the nested domain D, firstly, I need to push the argument. I need to enter domain D and pull argument from the parent domain and invoke F. I am executing the applications, execute the function F. And the question is that is there something bad or not. But we have a guarantee that now if nested domain has some memory vulnerability, it will not affect the parent domain memory. It means that parent domain actually still secure. And I am offering saying that you don't need to crash your application actually. You can just continue the execution. How I am offering, probably all of you know that this Rust has some API for panic. And we run the function F in the nested domain, and after that we are checking the result. If results say that yes, you have something bad things happens, and like for example, I can detect stack memory overflow or domain violations. It will return error. If everything is okay, we don't need to do anything. It will just return okay. But the idea is that actually we are using yes API panic, but we are actually adding a new feature. Panic has also memory safety guarantees. It means that when it panic happens, you can still continue your execution. And after that, I explain this rewind and discard. And if nothing happens, if we didn't detect any memory safety violations, we will just push mutable arguments and return value, and we will return parent domain. For this all process in high level idea, this Estirat API, C API is already offering this pink box. But the point for this blue box, how we can track the rest of the types of the arguments and how we can push to another domain, how we can pull it again. And probably all of you know that Rust, we have a lot of serialization creator. And what is serialization means? Serialization, we should encode the data in a format, like I just put it in a jar. And after that, we should deserialize when we jump to the nested domain, we should deserialize. And as a case study, I work on two Rust creator, Bincode and Abonimations. Bincode is transform data in a common binary representations that allows passing data between different platforms. And only the mention that SandCrust is process-based isolation mechanisms and that uses Bincode. But actually, we realize that Bincode for our cases is redundant because SandCrust and also Estirat FFI, we are in just in single platform. And I explore abonimations is based on Rust object memory layout presentations, but it is just for specific single platform. And it doesn't store any metadata or any type systems. It can deserialize place without need for another copy operation. And we realize that abonimation is efficient and suitable for our purpose. And we did some benchmarking. Snappy is a fast comparison C library from Google, and it designed for high speed compression and decompression of data. And also presented as a FFI example in the Rust books. And what we compress and uncompress randomly generated data of different sizes. And we measure execution time of each operation for different serialization creators, like Bincode and Abonimation. I show as a demo here, when I did all stuff, I just used Sandbox macro. And Sandbox macro is ensure that this compress function is completely run in the different domain, and it will not affect the parent domain. And uncompress is also here. We tested with different number of bytes, and this is the execution time. What is our lesson learned stuff? Of course, if you have number of bytes, if it is smaller, in-process isolation approach clearly outperforms compared to process-based isolations. Because if you have in-process isolation, you will not so much overhead. But the interesting start with later. We realized that even for modestly sized arguments, the context switch cause is not important anymore, dominated by data serialization methods, what you use. And our lesson learned three, the data serialization method can significantly impact performance, and it is critical to optimize it for different cases. Like if you are working on this serialization creator or developing, we can talk about it, how we can improve or how we can fit our use cases. In summary, we introduce secure rewind and discard with isolated domains for Rust FFI. And we have two goals. Firstly, we want to protect integrity of Rust application from memory safety violation in unsafe program. But the main point is that actually I would like to highlight we are increasing the Rust application availability because we have a still option for if unsafe portion of our applications is did some memory safety, we can return back. We have option there. And I provide a STR address file creators. It is open source. If you would like to try. And what is our takeaway? In-process isolation approach clearly outperforms compared to process-based isolations. But the other important things is that data serialization method can significantly impact of the performance. Thank you. If you have any question.
Can you quickly explain how these domains actually work? Like, how do you enter a domain, and how do you define what part of memory is part of the domain and what's outside the domain?
Of course, it is actually handled by my C library before that. I wrote it. But if for Rust perspective, if you use just sandbox macro, it will automatically handle it. But if you go into details, for each domain, I will create a new stack, a new heap memory area. Early, there's some talk about this allocator. Right. You can specify for allocators for specific domain. Entering a new stack, what does it mean? Just change the stack pointer, and try to continue your execution there. But
so you do a stack switch and then jump to an entry point.
But the important point to do this rewind and discard, you should first save your execution context in secure way. This is the point how we can recover.
Right, that's kind of like set jump and long jump style.
Set jump, long jump, but in a secure way. Now we have a guarantee
And then you use some hardware mechanism to make sure that certain memory is only accessible.
Yeah, exactly. That's domain. True. Yeah, that's completely true. And this is the Intel feature, and we are using that one. It is lightweight. That's why.
Because you don't need system calls. You don't.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no kernel round trip. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You completely got everything now.
First, thanks for the great talk. And then when deciding which piece of memory you put in the new domain, the global state is shared between the different domains, or you copy all the global state?
Current version is just supporting heap and memory. Mm-hmm. Heap and memory, but for the global shared, yes, you should copy and pass it, and according to your application, you should change it. But I am, as a future work, I would like to support also this, how we can sync between different domain to global shared state.
That could be very costly, right? Sharing, copying the global state could be very costly.
For example, here also, even though I have in-process isolations, changing arguments between domains create a lot of overhead. Yes, this is the bottleneck now, how we can improve actually this part, how we can pass the function argument one domain to another domain. This is the actual cost, actually.
And second question. You copy back all the mutable arguments, but do you that even if they are not changed, or do you do that all the time?
I am just pushing this. If they are mutable, I am pushing the argument and.
Yeah, but you don't check if they have been changed by the function. If they are mutable, then you copy them back.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so it's a static check and not a runtime check. Thanks.
Thanks for a nice question.
Awesome. Sorry, unfortunately, that was all we had time for. Can we give another thank you to Merve? Yeah. done with your PhD?
Last year.